Yeah, eat, sleep, fantasy, you rocking with the best. NFL fantasy football podcast. We talking mock drafts, running backs, better follow the conversation with Dale, Christian, and Armando. Screaming Eat Nation, we doing what we like. Tune in every week, guarantee we get it hype. Fantasy football enthusiasts, I know you plan to be joining us on Eat Sleep Fantasy. Yeah, Eat Sleep Fantasy. Eat Sleep Fantasy.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Eat Sleep Fantasy Dynasty Night. I will be your host, Austin, your Dynasty noob. Joining me, as always, is the teacher from the West Coast, John Chapman. What's going on, John?
Man, just glad to be here, and I'm ready to argue some Dynasty. We've been so friendly. I'm looking to peck a fight today.
Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. I think tonight is the night. Also joining me tonight is Steven, the Dynasty Architect. What's going on, Steven?
I'm the engineer. You're the architect, buddy. But I am good.
Oh, Jesus.
How's everybody doing? And John, coming on here so violent, looking for fights already. Jesus Christ, the season hasn't even started.
I know. I need violence in my life somehow. So we're going for verbal violence today. I think it's going to bring out the best in our relationship.
It's because everything's rainbows and unicorns out there in Pasadena, right?
Hell yeah, it is.
Oh, dirty. That was dirty. And also joining us as well, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Dale DeMott. What is going on, Dale?
What's up, guys? I'm so happy to be on Dynasty Night. This is the 11th Dynasty show we've done. This one is a little different because we are releasing it on a Friday morning instead of the usual Saturday or Sunday. So I'm really excited to just join in on the Dynasty talk. I started the early offseason kind of as a Dynasty noob, but I have like honed in with the help of you guys, Austin, John, and Steve. I'm ready to go Dynasty. I know so much now. I'm going to blow your socks off.
So Dale, if we were going to give you a nickname, what would be your Dynasty nickname?
I don't know. You put me on the spot. Let me think about it. I don't have one yet.
What? I can't.
But
man,
one thing I will tell you, no matter what, on this show today, we are going to be the only podcast that is not talking about the Yanni and Laurel stuff.
Oh, you just brought it up.
Oh, man, you just brought it up. We didn't want to talk about Yanni and Laurel.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it.
Do you want to talk about Yanni and Laurel?
We can all agree that it says Laurel, right?
I don't know.
I honestly don't know what you're talking about. I just seen it on Twitter everywhere.
It's terrible, first off. And
Dale, would you like to explain what Yanni and Laurel is going
on?
I hear Gary
every time.
Jeez. Okay, this is a disaster already.
Sounds,
I'm sorry to even
it
bring
sounds
it up.
Different when you're at different distances because of the decibel level.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what a smart person would say. I just say, what the fuck? It sounds like Laurel.
But you want to know what? The lady dropping a deuce and Tim Hortons and throwing it behind the counter is a lot more funny than what we're talking about here.
Okay.
That was a little weird. I don't know if I missed something or not, but guys, we have a lot of really cool stuff. I'm excited again to be on this podcast, Dynasty Night 011. I do want to tell everybody before we get started, we have a brand new website out and ready to go, eatsleepfantasy.com. We're going to be dropping tons of content there, articles. You can sign up for Eat Nation on there. We have several different levels of membership, everywhere from $5. I think it goes up to like $120, and you get tons and tons of perks, including draft kits, being in our listener league, get one-on-one questionnaires, Skype calls, all that stuff. So check it out, eatsleepfantasy.com, and don't forget Twitter and all Facebook and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Dale, another little bit of housekeeping. Do you want to talk about NFCC or NFFC?
It's NFFC, National Fantasy Football Convention. We will be there this July. If you guys are curious, I think there's going to be over 200 players there. We're going to be there on whatever, Radio Row, whatever it's called. So hang out with us. Come see us. We're going to do a live draft and stuff after the event at one of the local bars. And if you're interested in going, we'll save you $25 by using promo code ESF when you buy the tickets. That's ESF for Eat Sleep Fantasy. So, yeah, save $25. I think the lowest ticket is like $100. So you use our promo code, it's going to be $75. Check it out. And don't forget, let us know if you're going. And we'll save you a spot at the sports bar that we're going to go to. Hang out with us. Have a couple drinks. It's going to be fun.
Dale, thank you for making this podcast sound professional. So I got a question for you guys. And you don't have to answer this if, you know, say your bosses or coworkers listen to the podcast, but have you guys tried the marijuana edibles?
Yes.
Once upon a time.
There's one.
Yeah.
Okay, once upon a time. So I got a story. Dale, did you?
No, I have not, but it's really intriguing.
Okay, so I got a story for you guys. So last Thursday, I'm not going to lie, with all the stress and stuff, you know, with the house, selling the house, and then, you know, I was kind of in a little bit of pain. I was like, you know, I've never tried marijuana in my life. Never, ever. I grew up kind of in a religious environment. I really didn't start drinking till, you know, I moved out of the house. I joined the army, and I was in Korea, and I was a fish out of water. So I was like, hey, I really want to try these. You know, it's been long enough. I'm out of the army. I got, you know, I don't have to worry about urinalysis anymore and stuff like that. So we went down to the local store, right? And let me tell you, the selection was amazing. I'm not going to put a plug in because they said they wouldn't pay me any money, so screw them. But they did get a little bit of money out of me. So we bought the chocolates, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a big boy, so I figured, you know, I can eat a whole chocolate. Now, my daughter and my wife tried it as well, and they both took half. My daughter had the munchies and then crashed, like literally crashed.
Wait, don't say she literally crashed.
She went to sleep. That's what crashing means. Okay. Dale, what does crashing mean to you?
Like crashing a car or something?
No.
You don't say, oh my
gosh, they crashed.
She didn't fell literally asleep. Crash anything.
Love God,
she literally crashed.
She was like a ping pong ball.
If she was driving a car, I would have put in the story that she drove the car and crashed. Okay. But no, she crashed. She went to sleep.
She literally went to sleep.
Literally went to sleep. I got you. Literally. Okay. Anyway, so I was, you know, I was like, okay, it didn't do nothing to them. I took a whole one. And I'm about 45 minutes in, and I'm like, I don't feel nothing. I was like, I think I'm going to try another one. And thank God my wife read the directions. Says, hey, it says wait 75 minutes. Because at the hour mark, it hit. And when it hit, boys, let me tell you, I was sick to my stomach for the next 6 hours. Yeah. And when I say sick, I was literally puking, Dale. That's what I mean by literally puking.
Literally.
So for 6 hours, I kept reading online. I was like, will this thing ever last? How do I make the high go away? I mean, it was rough.
So you were high and you were puking.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to try it again. I will try it again. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'll try an edible.
Lower the dosage a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Try the chew.
I heard
the
cheap chews, man.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you want to try it, I would recommend small doses. Don't go for it all at once.
Get a sucker. The suckers are not bad.
I've tried the gummy bears tried the chocolates, and I had both of the exact same experiences that Austin just explained. One of them was a ski trip in Colorado, and it hit on a lift.
So did you crash into trees?
No, I didn't crash, but I was in the bathroom for a long time, and then I had to ski down. It was a great day, except not for me.
John going down the hill. Wee!
It was bad.
All right, let's get into some dynasty football talk, fellas. So, not a lot of news out there. Gambling has been approved, and with that, let me tell you, if you're listening to this, we will be doing a DFS episode, and DFS stands for Daily Fantasy. I forgot what that stands
sports.
For, but Daily Fantasy Sports. There you go. So basically, we will fulfill all your needs. And desires when it comes to daily fantasy. As far as plug-in, I can tell you right now, I'm 80% when it comes to 50-50s, and it took me 3 years to hit big on a tournament, but man, when I hit big on that tournament, it pretty much covered those 3 years worth of fees. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. We just brought in another writer, Mark. He will be handling a lot of our, what do you want to call, not FanDuel, but the other one, DraftKings. So like I said, come to Eastly Fantasy for everything you need for all your gambling needs as well. So,
yep, and I'm telling you right now that we're going to give tons of DFS content in the offseason. As soon as the season starts, all the DFS and all the Dynasty content will be shifted over to our $5 membership plan. So yeah, when you go to the website, you log in, and there's going to be special podcasts with Austin and special Dynasty stuff with Steve and John. And so it's going to be pretty cool. And that's going to be all behind the member login. But we're going to give it to you for free this offseason. So don't worry.
All right. Who wants to talk about the Saints?
Nobody.
Nobody wants to talk about the Saints? No one wants to talk about AP going to the Saints? The rumor out there?
I don't. I mean, if he goes there, great, but I don't really see anything big going on with that. He's not going to go anywhere in rankings.
Nope.
I don't know. It'll be like last year. They'll get a couple weeks out of him when Ingram comes back, or if they like what they see out of the rookies, then they'll just dump him.
Yeah, and I will say Sean Payton came out and said, the biggest mistake we can do with this Ingram suspension is give Kamara more touches. He's like, that's not what we're going to do. So I understand everybody got super excited about Kamara and they bumped him up in their rankings. That's fine, but his touches are going to stay the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think we all agree it's about 15 touches per game, I think is what we came, because I think it was the most he had last season was like 16 in one game, but he averages about 12. So, hey, I'm not tracking. I see on here Ajayi got in trouble, but I'm not tracking. Anybody want to touch on this?
Yeah, something small. He had an Airbnb that threw basically a rap party, and he's being sued for like $25,000 and pushed the guy trying to collect money, supposedly. And so he got into some trouble. If you go into the comments, they posted some of their messages back and forth. It is highly entertaining. Comments about too many white bitches and things like that. Very, very entertaining. And also Christian Kirk got in trouble as well for throwing rocks at a golf tournament after he got drunk and busting some windows. So that's fun.
See, maybe you can get Kirk for like cheap now from Austin since he's a villain. You know,
I've already tried. Trouble.
Dude, I'm a hoarder.
Yeah,
I have all the troublemakers right now.
You knew Ajayi was going to start some shit, so that's why you traded him to me, you dirty
bastard.
I did. That's where the fight started. It's on now.
Oh, there you go. And then, Steven, Calvin Ridley's lining up in the slot and outside?
I think that adds some value for him. Honestly, I expected him coming in and just being the number two guy there. Opposite of Julio, but if they're going to slide him in the slot, he's a good route runner and he has good hands. So if they're going to play him in both situations with how Matt Ryan likes to operate, I think that adds value.
Just say no, Steven. I don't. So suck it.
Yeah, well, but you got to look at what Taylor Gabriel yeah. did. He's gone now. So
exactly.
Not only is he getting those, but the Falcons, they don't keep the receivers out there the whole time. Like they rotate them. And so he's going to get some snaps outside and inside. So he's a little bit more fantasy relevant than I would have thought originally. I really do.
All right. Now let's move on to some dynasty talk. Hey, the reason we brought Dale on is, you know, he's part of our ESF dynasty group. And Dale, I'd like to get your thoughts on your team and your draft strategy and pretty much how you came up with the team that you have now and expectations for it.
Yeah, you know, I tried to, first of all, I traded like crazy. I probably over-traded a little bit to begin the draft. I ended up with a late round first and then moved back to getting a late second and a couple of actually three thirds. And so I had a 1, 2, and 3 threes to start off. I guess the biggest news out of everything... this is, again, 10-team league that you guys talked about last week. I ended up with Kareem Hunt as my first pick in the late of the first, and then Davante Adams, which I'm really excited about in the middle of the second. The biggest thing for me, I ended up with Amari Cooper and Adam Thielen as my wide receivers as well. But then the biggest thing is I got Deshaun Watson in the third end of the third round in a 10-man league. That caused a little ripples. People were yelling at me. Some people said, okay, but... Most of the time people were saying I reached. The reason why I reached for Deshaun Watson late in the third is because I traded a lot of my fourth, fifth, and sixth round pick. And so I knew that when quarterbacks started coming off the board, my number one overall quarterback is Deshaun Watson this year. And especially in a dynasty league, I'm really excited for him. So I knew if I didn't get him late in the third, I wouldn't have gotten him. I didn't think I would. Maybe I could have, or
you
maybe I could have traded.
Not in our league. But. Other quarterbacks went before you picked again.
Right. Exactly. So I knew that there would at least be a couple quarterbacks and I didn't want to take the chance. I thought if I wanted Deshaun Watson, I had to get him. So, and I always preach this too. If you guys really want a player and you feel highly about a player, take him when you can get him. You know, I didn't want to watch him go off in the sixth round right before I picked in the seventh. So I went ahead and grabbed him. I could have gotten other guys. You know, like Allen Robinson went after Deshaun Watson, guys like Jarvis Landry, T.Y. Hilton, and Corey Davis. So I could have gotten another wide receiver out of it. Most of the good running backs that I wanted that early were already gone. So that's pretty much my draft story.
If he was your guy and you really wanted him, and from the sample size that you got last year, it's in your circumstance, it's kind of hard to pass up on him. And if he does continue that trend, you're going to look smarter than most of us. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, I've done my my background check on Deshaun Watson, and it all checks out.
Does he have a good credit score?
Yeah, it's good. It's good. But
nice. All right, John, why don't you take us through a couple of the trades that happened this week on the ESF Dynasty League?
Yeah, so Dynasty League, this is a half-point PPR, but it's interesting starting format. We have three starting running backs, three wide receivers, and three flex plays. So it's a very deep starter league. And I want to talk about a trade that actually didn't go through with Dale, good old cutie Dale over there. Why did you turn down this deal? So the deal was, Dale would have gotten Christian McCaffrey and Michael Gallup, and I was asking in return Devontae Adams and James White. So talk us through why you rejected this and broke my heart.
Yeah, really, looking on paper without looking at rosters, it's pretty close, especially in a PPR dynasty league. I really do like Christian McCaffrey. Gallup and James White, I think maybe Gallup does have a small edge over James White, but not huge. So really, we're talking about CMC for Devontae Adams. For my roster, I have Adam Thielen and Amari Cooper, which I'm confident that at least one of them will hit. both kind of between Cooper and Thielen. I don't know. It's a little risky for me and to leave Devontae Adams out of the picture, which is my clear-cut number one wide receiver. I just didn't feel comfortable having those guys to pick up the slack.
Yeah. But if you look at your starting running backs right now, again, you got Kareem Hunt, who I love. But then after that, you got Devontae Freeman, Carlos Hyde, James White.
Yeah. It would have helped my running back situation for sure. I value Devontae Adams more than Christian McCaffrey on my roster.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got a lot of value out of Devonta Freeman as late as I did. I think he's going to be a stud this year. And I know Carlos Hyde now has a competition with Chubb in the backfield as well. Maybe not long term. I'm not thinking long term right now, but this season, I think Carlos Hyde is going to secure his role in the backfield for at least three quarters of the season before having any real issues in the backfield there.
Yeah, I think you're right. And the value for Devontae Adams is unreal. This might be, I mean, he's one of those guys that could be the number one overall wide receiver. So I get it. I mean, there's a reason why I was trying to trade for him.
Sure. And whenever you try to trade, I know that you really know what you're doing. And so I figured you wouldn't ask for a trade that you weren't going to win.
So,
but
you know what, fellas?
He makes a great point, because I'm not going to lie. Whenever I get a trade from you two, I'm like, man, when we talk about cringing, I'm like, ooh, is this really going to help me, or is this really helping him? And you're honestly, in this situation, you're second guessing yourself, because that does sound like a good trade, you know, on paper. But, you know, long term, you know, as one of us guys just trying to get our foot in the door with Dynasty, it's like, ooh, you know what? Another thing, you know, like I've told you guys before, another problem is I kind of want to see how this book plays out. I kind of want to see how the ending is. You know, I drafted this team. You know, I put together one hell of a draft scheme. You know, it's hard for me to let these guys go now. So any thoughts or suggestions?
Man, you always got to do what makes your roster better. And it doesn't matter who's making the deal. I don't know. You got to, and you explained, Dale, how you didn't think this benefited you. But let's talk about a trade that did happen between Steve and I right after the episode last week with the wonderful Armando. We got a deal done, Steve and I did. And so basically, Steve got Jay Ajayi and Deion Kane, the rookie wide receiver for Indianapolis Colts, and a 2019 third round pick. And I went against my better judgment and picked up a tight end. I know I don't believe in tight ends, they don't exist, but I get Zach Ertz and Jamal Williams and a 2019 second. So let's go to the madman, Steve. Walk us through why you wanted this deal.
I wanted this deal because I wanted another solid running back. I mean, I was happy with having Kamara, Cook, and Cohen, and even Jamal Williams. But Jay Ajayi is young, and I know he has somewhat of a lingering knee issue, but there's enough talent there in Philadelphia that he's not going to carry a ton. And during his time there behind one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, he averaged well over 5 yards a carry, and he played really well when he got his touches. Not only that, he's going to be running for a contract, and if things play out and they go well, Philly's going to re-sign him. So he could very well be in a very young situation there with a ton of talent and a great offensive line, and he's a guy that has RB1 upside all day long. And if I put him along with the other guys that I have in a PPR format, I'm happy with that. And then Deion Kane, there's really nothing set in stone, the opposite of T.Y. Hilton. Over there in Indianapolis, and if the graces of God allows Andrew Luck to come back with a shoulder that he could play the rest of his career in, I really like the upside that that guy has. Ertz?
Yeah, he could be the number two guy there. Easy. And it was funny. We went back and forth. I was trying to throw in so many other pieces besides Deion Kane. That was almost a deal breaker for me, giving up him, just because the potential is so much. I love this deal because I had Aaron Jones, and I do not know who is going to come out the number one in Green Bay, but I want a part of that offense. I got rejected by Dale and his cold heart, so I wanted to go after the backfield, and so I paired up Jamal Williams with Aaron Jones. It's a deep league. One of those guys is going to be a stud for me, possibly both. I don't like starting two backs out of the same backfield, but... And then I upgrade tight end. I get Zach Ertz, who is my number two overall tight end in Dynasty. So it worked out for me. It was a close deal, though. This is an example of, I think, both of our rosters got better because we were able to fit different needs. And that's why we trade. So I want to turn it over to you, Steve, and talk a little bit about the Listener Dynasty League that we got going.
So I think this is going to be a really fun league. We have our draft coming up here on Sunday. And it's really interesting because we have people from across the globe involved with this. One of our listeners from Australia, the Netherlands, I believe, as well. Clayton, who's part of the ESF team up in Canada, and you know everybody else that's here. So it's really going to be interesting. And we're doing a slow draft as well. The format's different, but this week has been a lot of fun. So It was kind of hard getting everybody to warm up to trading, and some people haven't made any moves, and they're comfortable because they want to see how this plays out, and that's fine because not everybody has done this. But you know, I was able to work out a few deals, move my way around the board, and a couple guys caught on to what I was trying to do, so they gave it a shot. So we got the board mixed up a little bit, and you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to be in this league with these guys, and I think this is going to be a great time.
How did you guys start this league? Where did it start off, and how did you decide who was in it?
So Chris Coleman over there in Australia, he's the commissioner, and I believe he reached out to you, Dale, about a dynasty league or how to start one. So you turned him my way, and Chris and I have been we've been talking a lot ever since. So. He asked me to be a part of the league, cool. And I turned it over to the listeners, just gave up my spot there. And, you know, as things developed and whatnot, a spot opened up. So, you know, he asked me to come on again and co-commission with him. So that's what I'm doing. And Clayton was already a part of that before he jumped on board. That's how long this has been going on. But I think everybody's getting comfortable, and, you know, we keep in touch through Facebook Messenger, and I know everybody's really excited about this league. So just spent the last couple months helping Chris and the guys, you know, get the league set up, any information and questions or anything like that they had. It's been fun to be a part of.
Yeah. Now it is kind of coming back to me. We have a couple dynasty leagues actually started through our private Facebook group, the Eat Nation private group. That is also part of the membership, by the way, if you go to the website. But a lot of that stuff, I think we have maybe two or three dynasty leagues that were started in that group just from people talking to each other and stuff. That's
I want to say three of them for sure, because there were a list of people that wanted to be a part of it. It was just kind of a first come, first serve type thing.
And it's all like-minded fantasy people. You're not just getting some random, you know, guy that is just starting fantasy, like where they're all kind of relevant. They know sort of what they're doing at least. And so it's a good pool of people to work with.
Yeah,
so
one of our listeners, Blake, you know, he was telling me he's only been in fantasy football for a couple of years, and he jumped into his dynasty league, and he's been a little aggressive making trades in a format that he's not familiar with. So that was actually really cool, and he's pulled off some good deals. That was really nice to see.
Nice. Pretty cool.
All right, fellas, let's move on. So, John, you set up this segment, looking at the biggest deals and reaches from mock you did. Why don't you go over and tell the listeners what we're about to go through?
Yeah, so if we look at right now, we're just going to focus on kind of rookie redraft. The average draft position that's going on right now in standard formats, I'm sorry, half PPR formats. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go through each round, and we're going to break up the first, second, and third round. And we're going to look at the biggest steals slash reaches from each round. So as we go through this, understand this is kind of synced together. This isn't a draft that I did. This is several different drafts blended together to get their ADP. And so let's go through. Austin, go ahead and read us off the first round. And then we'll all kind of, after we finish the first round, we'll jump in and argue and call each other names.
Okay. So it's a 12-man league. So obviously the first one was Saquon. The next one was Juice to Get Loose or Geis, whichever you prefer. Michelle, Sony Michelle, Penny, Chubb, Ronald Jones, DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley, Freeman, Sutton, Kerryon Johnson, and the first QB, Baker. So that was the first round. All right, John, who was your steal? Give me one of your steals.
So, yeah, my steal on this one was pretty easy, and that's Royce Freeman. He wasn't a guy that I was really high on before the draft, but the fact that you can get somebody at the 1.09 rookie draft that has a possibility to be a three down back on a decent offense, now that CJ Anderson is gone, I think that's a steal. I have no problem taking Freeman as high as four. So I thought that was awesome at the 109 okay. pick.
Now, Dale, you have down here, you have a steal as Saquon Barkley. I'm really interested in why this was a steal for you.
Yeah, I mean, when you see the first overall pick, we don't really think steals, right? But Saquon is in a tier all by himself. He is, I think, a consensus top 12 running back in redraft, not only in Dynasty, but, you know, in redraft leagues. So if you have the first overall pick, I think Saquon Barkley is a steal just by getting that first overall pick, and he's going to be a difference maker from the beginning. So it's a no-brainer for me.
Anyone got any issues with Saquon Barkley being a steal?
No, I'm trying to get him right now in a super flex league. I lost the championship by 0.2 points, and my two quarterbacks are Kirk Cousins and the wonderful injured Andrew Luck. And so I'm trying to trade Andrew Luck to a team that has no QBs for the number one, and he is thinking about it. This would be like the deal of all deals. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, do whatever you can to get that 101. Saquon is a buy, a huge buy.
All right, Steve, who's your first steal?
I like Kerryon Johnson, to be honest with you.
Boo.
Yeah, whatever. He landed in a beautiful situation. And, I mean, getting him, to me, I would take Kerryon over guys like Sutton. I would take him over DJ Moore. I would take him over Nick Chubb, Rashad Penny even, all day long. So the fact that he's sitting in the 11th spot in the first round and the situation that he's in, I really like him. I mean, the return on investment may not stick out this year, but it's not going to for Chubb, a guy like Chubb either, who has taken six picks before him. So, I don't know. I think Kerryon's the steal.
Yeah. I mean, that's a valid argument. I mean, as far as, you know, the long-term solution or this year's solution, you're not going to see a big jump from a lot of these running backs that were picked before him. I'll just segue right into it. And Kerryon Johnson was one of my reaches for the draft for the first round.
Here it goes.
You just said he was the 11th pick in the first round. The problem I had, there are a couple of problems I have with Kerryon Johnson. One, the opportunity, I think people are blowing it out of proportion a little bit. The Lions haven't had a good run game in so long, and I don't think it's necessarily the personnel. I think they have issues on the offensive line, and they just have issue with their run scheme in general. On top of that, Kerryon Johnson, let's not forget, he's been injured a few times, not only in college, but in his high school career as well. He's a big guy. He's a, you know, bruiser runner, whatever you want to call that. I don't even know the term for it, but he's a big runner, and I think that translating to the NFL is it's not going to be as powerful as one might think watching him in high school and college. So I just a little worried.
Yeah, he's a multi-dimensional back that Detroit's never had, though. You know, so they've always tried to wrap up their needs in a bunch of different guys. Well, you know, they have, you know, you'll still have Theo Riddick, I expect to stick around even after this year. Because all those guys, their contracts come off the books. So, but Kerryon gives them everything they need wrapped up into one player. And then you just need that change of pace back to give him a breather. And that offensive line, you're absolutely right, is always worrisome. But with what they have on paper, if it's healthy, will be a good enough offensive line for Matthew Stafford and Kerryon Johnson to do what they need to do in that offense.
I get it.
Yeah, and I'll add, you know, you said this earlier. This year, you got to taper your expectations for Kerryon, because as long as LeGarrette Blount's there, he's going to be scoring the touchdowns. Theo Riddick's 26. He's not giving up that third down roll. So once LeGarrette Blount's gone, man, I love this guy. But again, if you need a running back this year, I'm punting on Kerryon Johnson personally.
So I think we all agree that's not a steal. That's not a steal, Steve. That's
not a steal. I hate you all. All
right. He has decided.
Yeah, it's been decided. I like it. So my steal was Rojo, Ronald Jones. Hey, I look at it only because of his landing spot. And it's honestly, you know, I don't have a lot of stats to go along with him. But when you look at like Juice, Geis, you know, Sony Michel, Penny, Chubb, they all didn't have that perfect landing spot, in my opinion. Now, don't get me wrong, I do have concerns. Jones does have a rough schedule this season. I mean, but his first, you know, they had their rookie practice come up, right? He grabbed the ball, had it, and he basically what they said, he wowed everyone around. But, you know, you can take that for what it's worth. But for the landing spot at Tampa Bay at the 106, I think Rojo's a steal in this situation.
It doesn't hurt that you have him on your dynasty roster, right?
I honestly
so he's a little biased there, right?
I'm not biased because I was actually looking.
Look at that big smile.
Because, I mean, would you say DJ Moore is a steal? I don't think he's a steal at 107. So, yeah. And well, like I said, Chubb, Penny, I mean, those are all great running backs coming out of college. But they, you know, like you've all said, they all have their red flags. There's not many red flags coming out of Jones. So, you know, for a thought process and logic, it only makes sense to go with somebody, you know, that you're comfortable with. So,
well said. Well said.
Thank you. Thank you. Now let's move on to reaches. And John, once again, we'll start with you as far as what do you consider a reach in the first round?
Yeah, you know, kind of reach arounds are my special. So here I'm going with good old Chubb. I feel like that fits at the 105 spot.
Yeah,
fit
perfectly.
Reach around Chubb.
I absolutely hate this landing spot for Chubb. His talent is awesome. The draft capital is there. He went very early in the second round. But what the hell is Cleveland going to do? They re-sign. They don't re-sign. They bring in Carlos Hyde and pay him a three-year deal, $5 million a year. He's not going anywhere this year or next year. If they cut him next year, they lose $7 million dead money on a running back. That's not happening. You're not going to get rid of, again, one of the best third down backs in the league in Duke Johnson. So just the opportunity is not there. I have no clue why people are taking him in the top five. You got to wait 2 years. You're waiting 2 years on this guy and a top five pick. I just don't understand the Nick Chubb love. Don't get it.
Okay.
You don't think that Nick Chubb could creep in to, I imagine he'll start stealing carries towards maybe the later last 25% of the season and then take over maybe early to mid next season. Is that possible or you don't see that?
So it is possible. Here's the problem. That is a horribly run franchise. Sure. And Hugh Jackson is a freaking joke. Isaiah Crowell breaks off a 60-yard touchdown run to end the second quarter. They go into halftime. They're up by 3 points. They come back. He didn't touch the ball once in the second half, and there were no injuries. They have no clue what they are doing there. And I'm very excited that Hard Knocks is going to be there, because I think we're going to see just how inept that coaching staff is outside of Todd Haley. I don't know, man. Jeez. I do not believe – I think coaching matters, and Hugh Jackson is a great offensive coordinator, but he's just – terrible at game management, and I just don't think that's I don't think it's a good fit.
Do you believe in the curse? The curse of Hard Knocks?
I believe in the curse of Cleveland.
Poor Cleveland. All right, so Dale, you already talked about your reach, which was Carry On. So we'll move on to Steve. So your first reach, Steve, for round one?
Baker Mayfield. I don't even know why he's even in the first round. I don't even know why he would even be in the second round. I mean, the only quarterback that I'm looking at early on, and that would be in the second round, would be Rosen, and that's a rookie-only draft. So Baker Mayfield going anywhere in the first round is beyond me, especially, again, we just talked about Cleveland and that wonderful franchise there, and then you're going to have Tyrod Taylor there as well. So, I mean, we'll have to see how that all plays out, but that's just not a place to take a guy like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I agree. He was definitely a reach in there. But I went with the wide receiver. I went with Ridley. I don't think Ridley should be, I don't know, that highly touted, I guess. You know, he's wide receiver 3 in Atlanta. They do have a decent schedule. I got it. He's going to be playing different positions, but there's still 2 other wide receivers there, and there's nothing built. There's no continuity built between him and, you know, the QB. So I don't like
Ridley's. Ridley's going to be the wide receiver too. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah,
there's
Sanu's getting his snaps, man. You're not getting that guy off the field.
I don't know. That's why I'm thinking he's a reach. I just don't think he's not going to get used as much as we think. But, you know, that's why I'm just coming into this. And you guys can slap my pee-pee. So.
What? I've never heard that.
You never heard of pee-pee slap?
Ever. No,
you step in something and you get your pee-pee
slapped. That's weird, Austin.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
You never punch somebody in the nuts?
That's really weird.
Yes, I have done that whenever I was
don't call it a pee-pee slap.
That's the nice and kind way of doing, you know, saying it. So.
Okay. All right. Slapping your pee-pee. That's good. I think we found the title of the show.
He says pee-pee slap because this is a fucking family show.
And so we got through all the reaches. Let's go into round two. Steven, you want to read off round two?
So round two, my steal is Gallup.
No. Read off all the names in round two, please.
Oh.
Jeez, you want your pee-pee slap?
Hey, don't threaten me with a good time.
Pee-pee slap.
Do not threaten me with a good time. But anyways, round two, so Lamar Jackson, 2-1, and then at 202 is Christian Kirk, then James Washington, Anthony Miller, Josh Rosen, Kalen Ballage, Michael Gallup, Equanimous St. Brown, Mike Gesicki, Dallas Goedert, Goddard, Joe Dirt, DJ Chark, and then Traquan Smith at 212.
Okay, go ahead and start with your steal then.
So then my steal is Gallup. I really like his situation in Dallas. I hate his quarterback. So if his quarterback can bounce back, that's only going to throw his upside through the ceiling. But, I mean, Gallup at 207, to me, is kind of late for him. I would look at him in the early second, late first, just because, you know, Dez is gone. They added some guys that, I don't know, they don't have a whole lot of value. I think Gallup has just as much upside as a guy like Allen Hurns or Deontay Thompson. So I really like his situation. And to me, being, you know, middle to late part of the second round, that's a steal.
Now, I got a question for you. So would you rather have Gallup or Ridley?
Gallup.
Okay.
Ooh, hot take.
Go ahead. Go ahead, John. What do you got?
No, I they're very close to me. They're very, very close to me. And if I look at my rankings, man, I keep wanting to put Gallup ahead of them, but I don't, and I haven't. I just don't know how much Dallas is going to throw the ball. So let's just say hypothetically Gallup wins the number one wide receiver job in Dallas. Yeah, what's that mean? You're talking maybe 800 yards and 8 touchdowns. That's top of the line. Whereas if you look at the Falcons, man, they air it out. So man, it's a coin flip for me, but I think I'd take Ridley, and I hate Ridley.
Oh, wow.
I would go out on a limb. I know we're talking rookie dynasty startup, whatever. I think in redraft, I'm taking Deontay Thompson over Gallup, this year. Do you guys disagree?
You have such a man love for Deontay Thompson.
No, what? I don't agree at all. I think
where
that's
did that come
stupid.
From? I have a sour taste in my mouth now.
No, no.
Jeez, no. Guys.
But having said that, once you have that guy that you love, that's your dark horse, that's awesome. Get him in all your leagues, preferably the league I'm in with you. I'm
that's
sorry.
Mean. Look, Deontay Thompson is a man. Okay, Gallup is a little kid. Deontay Thompson knows how to navigate the NFL defenses. I think with a decent quarterback play, he can be really strong.
I'm sorry, so, I didn't mean to be so harsh.
Fuck you guys.
I'm sorry.
Deontay
but guess
Thompson
what? We're not talking about Deontay Thompson, so let's move on. So, Dale, since you want to talk, well, who is your steal for the second round?
My steal is Miami Dolphins running back Calvin Ballage. I keep wanting to say Ballage. Yeah. So coming on at 206, I just think that's a pretty good value for him. It's hard to call somebody a steal if it's just good value, but I like his chances towards the end of the year and definitely next year. I don't think that they're in love with Drake. Calvin Ballage is a really good pass catcher. He's really athletic. I think he's like a little bit bigger version of Christian McCaffrey. He's fast. He's a good pass catcher. He can line up in the slot if you want him to. He's kind of what they want Kenyon Drake to be. Kenyon Drake, I think, was targeted the 20th most out of running backs last year and had the 30 most catches. So not a great catch rate for Kenyon Drake. I think Ballage can do a little bit better than that. I think he's a good runner, too. So I like his value at 2.6 here.
All right.
I think you can get some good value, maybe not this year, but 2019, I think you're going to see a nice play from him.
Nice. And then, Steven, who do you have?
So my reach here.
I think it's my turn.
Oh, my bad, John. I thought John went first. No.
I felt left out. That's
I
okay.
Didn't, I didn't go on my reach yet, but go ahead, John.
So, no, I'm still on.
We're doing steals.
My steals, first off. Well, and my wide receiver one went in the second round. Christian Kirk, man, 2.02. That's a steal for me. I have Kirk as my number 9 overall player in the rookie dynasty drafts. I absolutely love his landing spot. I love his talent. The only problem that I have with Kirk is he is perfect for the slot. And that's what I graded him out as coming out of college. But Larry Fitzgerald's still there. So as of right now, they have him playing the number 2 spot outside. And practicing in the slot as well. And so whenever Larry Fitz retires, he is stepping into 100 target guarantee from that slot position. So this year, again, not going to light it up. But rookie wide receivers usually don't have immediate payoff. But sky is the limit for this kid. I'm very excited about Christian Kirk. And I'm going to have him in almost all of my dynasty leagues before it's all said and done.
So why, why is he trying out to be a quarterback throwing rocks? He should be catching
him,
dude.
I don't know how to answer that one, but he was playing golf, so like I feel like they offset. Golf plus vandalism equals fantasy superstar.
Sure, I like it.
Yeah, I'll stay with it.
All right,
do something. So, fellas, my steal for this one was Anthony Miller. Or I'm sorry, not Anthony. Yeah, Gesicki. Yeah. I thought Gesicki was a steal. The notes are all jacked up.
Best part of the pod right there.
Yeah, I need the notes, so I got to make sure this right. But no, I thought Gesicki is a steal in this situation. He's the only tight end that really doesn't have any competition that came out of this rookie draft. You know, these past 2 years, 2016, 2017, 48 receptions, 57 receptions, 679 yards, 563 yards. You know, he averaged 14 yards in 2016. Almost 10 yards in 2017, 9 touchdowns receiving in 2017. I think Miami got a steal here by grabbing Gesicki here, and his schedule doesn't seem that bad. It's like 20th easiest right now for tight end. So I don't know. I know he's on my team as well, but I didn't do that on purpose. But I do think at the 209, he's a steal. He should definitely be up above guys like Rosen and Bellage, you know, stuff like that. So
he went in the first round at the 112 spot in one of my leagues just last week. So yeah, some people are super high on him. There's not a lot for fantasy purposes in this rookie class at tight end. So yeah, he's shooting up the draft board.
Oh yeah, he's definitely gonna move up, especially like I said, Miami not having any other tight ends to compete against him. So
yeah, all they need now is a quarterback to throw the ball.
I like Tannehill.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm not even a Miami Phil.
When he has legs and knees, you know, but he's like Bradford 2.0 pretty much, man.
Right. Oh, yeah.
He's getting there. Yeah.
So let's move on to reaches. So go ahead, Dale. We'll let you start off with what you thought was a reach in the second round of this mock.
Yeah, my reach is Anthony Miller here. First of all, I know he's a second round pick out of Memphis for the Chicago Bears, but I'm not really sold on him. I mean, last year his biggest strengths were, you know, driving downfield and getting those long balls. He's not very
he's got long balls.
Shut up. he's not very good, not very talented with the shorter routes and the shorter passing routes. So that kind of concerns me a little bit. On top of that, the Chicago Bears, I do think their offense will improve, but not improve enough to give this rookie wide receiver any production this year.
It's all going to Tariq Cohen on my dynasty team.
Oof.
Yeah. I mean, the problem also, you know, with Miller is he's not going to be able to get that big separation that he was against his opponents in Memphis. This is just a whole different level than anything he's faced last year in college, so... I just don't think his value is not going to be the deep threat as he was in college.
I don't know. I like Anthony Miller and where he landed. Too. I kind of wish I would have got him over Kirk. I'm not even gonna lie. The more research I've done,
we should do it. Anthony Miller for Christian Kirk trade right up right now. I got Anthony Miller. Let's do it right now.
I want a wide receiver one. So give me a wide receiver one and we'll go. Anthony I've told you Miller. This like 100 times.
Dude,
I need a wide
receiver.
Literally
just said you would rather have him than Christian Kirk. You're not going to make a trade on the air.
But then if you rewind the pod and said, hey, I drafted this guy, I kind of want to see how it plays out. But I'm saying I do have some regrets
God,
not grabbing
man.
Him.
He got cold feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need a name for
it's
that.
Called Armando. Somebody,
it's called the Armando.
It's called the freaking Armando.
You're Armando.
I'm wondering.
Right now. I'm in the Armando.
Yeah, there you go, Crespo'd. I like it.
You're Ben Crespo'd.
All right, let's get back on track. All right, Steven, go ahead and talk about your reach.
So second round, and I like this guy. He's on my dynasty team, but Equanimous St. Brown in the second round is not the place to get him. You definitely, you know, late third round and after that, but there's some other players, wide receivers, running backs, whatever the case may be, that I would rather have than him. He's in an excellent spot, don't get me wrong, but they did draft two other wide receivers, and it's going to be a battle to be opposite of Davante Adams, because I don't really care about Randall Cobb. So the guy has a lot of upside. I like him, but in the second round, that's too early for him.
Yeah, and he was the third wide receiver drafted by his own team.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I don't understand why people don't understand this. They took two wide receivers that are the exact same height before him. So, I don't know.
Javon Moore is only like 6'2", I think.
He's 6'... I think you're wrong. I think you're... I don't have any proof right now.
That's a strong argument, John.
I think you're wrong.
I'm staying with it.
You go get him, man.
I think you're wrong. Not nice person.
All right, John.
He's 6'3". Hey, so he came out at 6'3". Marquez Valdez Scantling, 6'4". So, man, yeah, I liked EQSB before the thing. I could say Equanimous, but that's difficult. But yeah, somebody's going to win that job there, and whoever does is going to have crazy fantasy relevance. But man, how could you take him whenever they took him third out of their guys? But that's just me.
Yeah. And he was your reach as well.
He was. Tracking. Steve stole my reach, which, you know, bros don't do that, man.
I didn't even.
I went with.
What happened?
Are we done yet?
You used to be bros. You used to be bros, and it's now you're not anymore.
So I basically just went off the position for the reach in the second round. I do not like Lamar at the 201, just as we talked about Baker. I'm not a hater. I like Lamar. I know he's... I can see him starting by the end of the year, but I really think Lamar should be going down. And, you know, and I'm going personally, too, because I'm one of those individuals that will always do wide receivers and running backs before I do a quarterback. So it's really difficult.
You got to do a quarterback.
Yeah, I'll do, you know, one of those Dale innuendos. I'm going to do a quarterback, and Lamar would be a good quarterback to do.
Do a quarterback.
Yeah, there you go. But I think Lamar should have been actually down there by Dallas Go Dirt, which is a great name for Dallas. Dallas Go Dirt. He should definitely have been down around the 211, 212, because that's where QBs belong. So cool. Any disagreements?
In a one no. QB league, yeah, this is way too early. You're hoping for upside. The rushing is there. I get it. But the fact that he's not going to play this year till late at best, you're passing up on a lot of positional talent that's available there. So, yeah, I'm with you.
All right, let's move on to the third round. And, hey, John, go ahead and kick it off and tell us all the players that landed in the third round in your mock.
Yeah, so again, average draft position in the third round. This is where these guys have been going in half point PPR leagues. Again, this is just rookie draft dynasty. 3.01, we got Sam Darnold. 3.02, we had Walton. 3.03, Pettis. Right after that, Josh Allen. Yuck. 3.05, Deion Kane. Then Callaway. We got Josh Adams. 3.07. Then tight end, Hayden Hurst. Dalton Schutz. Kiki Coody. Mark Andrews. And the last pick in the third round was Mason Rudolph with a 3.12.
Okay. Steven, who was the steal of the third round, in your opinion?
My opinion is Deion Kane. I think Deion should be somewhere in like the middle to late second round. And the fact that he's at 3.05 and a third, I would be extremely happy getting him there just because of all his upside over there in Indianapolis. There's a lot of other names that that John listed that I really do like getting in that round, but I just really like Deion Kane. I like the history of wide receivers in recent years that have come out of Clemson. I've watched him play. I just think this guy has a ton of upside, and I really like his spot in Indianapolis.
Yeah, he stays out of trouble. I think he's going to be a huge part of that offense. I really do. He's got to stay out of trouble.
So, John, would you say that's your steal as well, or do you have another one?
No, Pettis. Oh, my goodness. For San Francisco. And once you start getting in the third round or later in these drafts, you're taking flyers. These aren't starters. These are guys that you can find a way for them to get into the starting lineup for their NFL team, respectively, and then have fantasy relevance. So, what I'm looking for is who has the path to being a starter. And Austin Pettis, that's his cousin. Sorry about that, brother. But so Pettis, he has that because the 49ers traded up in the second round to get him. And you're getting a guy that went in the second round of NFL drafts, and you're getting him in the third round. And it's positional value, meaning it's a running back or wide receiver. And I want as many of those guys as possible. Jimmy G and everything that he's done, Kyle Shanahan throws the ball as much as anybody in the NFL. And so this is a guy that I want on almost all of my teams just because he doesn't have a ceiling. And if you have any type of value in your scoring format for punt returns, this guy holds the NCAA record all time for most punt returns for a touchdown. So the value is insane with that guy. Absolutely love this pick. I would take him in the middle of the second round personally. I wouldn't wait till the third, but that's just me.
So after last week's pod, and we talked about this, I noticed you changed your team name to Pettis' Penis. Now, you were supposed to do some research over the week.
Any luck?
A 49er fan, did you have any luck?
Man, no. So I went on the deep webs, and I've been on incognito mode for a long time. But, man, it's hard to tell them all apart. They're just all really big.
They're all big. Nice. All right, fellas.
All right, that's a good way to great. End it.
Hey, let's go ahead and let's shut this down for the day. Really appreciate having Dale on. Hey, man, you bring a lot of information. We always love having the A-team come on to the B-team. You know, one day we'll get it like you guys. But, Dale, do you got any...
I'm the goddamn host of Eat Sleep Fantasy, so I hope I did something for you.
Oh, you always do something for me really well. You know, you put me on an emotional roller coaster. So... So, Dale, hey, do you got any parting words for the listeners? And then where can they find you?
eatsleepfantasy.com. Just go to eatsleepfantasy.com for all your needs, all your fantasy football information all year, articles, podcasts. Don't forget the memberships to support us. One, you're getting a membership to help yourself win fantasy football. Over 150 pages in the draft kit that you're going to get. But beyond that, you're helping out the podcast. So if you enjoyed listening to us for the past couple years, we'd really appreciate a little bit of support, joining a membership. And we're going to reciprocate and give you tons of awesome content to help you win all your leagues this year. So stay tuned and go to eatsleepfantasy.com. And it's pretty easy to navigate now with a new site.
So, Dale, you don't want anybody stalking you on Twitter?
No, whatever. I mean, eat sleep at eat sleep FF. Find me on Twitter.
Give me a hard time, brother.
You'll find me. Just Google me.
Google you.
I'm everywhere.
G Dale DeMott.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a big deal.
There you go. He is a big deal.
Actually, I think I just started a new job, and I got an alert that somebody in my city was on the website, and I think it was somebody at my job Googling me because. It's really weird. If we have a listener in Greensboro, North Carolina, email me, but I think it was somebody at my job. So that's kind of weird.
They're being safe, right? Yeah, they're just being safe.
I guess.
It's all about information, weird, right? All about information. That's what we provide. Yeah. John, go ahead and add some closing remarks, brother.
Yeah, man. Lots of fun. Stay with us and hit us up on Twitter. Individually, collectively, we are here for you guys. You can find me at JL_Chapman, JL_CHAPMAN. Lots of fun.
All right, Steven.
As always, guys, on Twitter, at SPAC21, SSPAC21, and you can always find me on the ESF page on Instagram. Don't forget to go there as well. You can always, between Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, get back to the website. And just follow the link in the bios. And just to reiterate everything Dale said earlier, we have the website. We have a ton of stuff out there available to you guys. So don't be afraid to use all platforms to traffic your way back to eatsleepfantasy.com.
Yeah, well said, well said. And my closing remarks, hey, I just want to say thanks to all the messages I've been getting, all the DMs, all the questions. Hey, it just makes me feel like everything I'm doing is meaningful and worthwhile. I definitely want to reiterate what Dale and Steven said. There's going to be a ton of content coming out probably in the next week. So just stay with us and we'll get everything going for the next season. So, and for Dynasty. On behalf of Dale, Steven, John, and myself, don't forget to find me at Austin37. Y'all be easy.
Come on, let's go.
I love it.
It's a fantasy. It's all the fantasy football action that you need.